This podcast replay, it's brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood, where you can get a 2020 Corolla LE, lease it for $159 a month, sign and drive $289 a month, get on down to 1841 North State Road 7 in Hollywood, Toyota of Hollywood.
Alrighty, we back. Hour number two of the program, and you were asking me what was the biggest surprise of the Dolphins this season. And I got to tell you, it's the offensive line. I was thinking about this, and you expect some of these defensive players to play well because X is X, and Byron Jones is Byron Jones, and Kyle Van Noy is experienced, and Ogbah's been in this league, and so is Lawson. And so some of these guys having success are supposed to have success. But when you play three rookies on an offensive line, are you really supposed to have success? Are you really supposed to give your quarterback enough time? And look, I know they're not perfect. They're not road graders right now. But I got to tell you something. The smooth transition of the offensive line, that's been the pleasant surprise for me. That's the one that I have to say, wow, I did not see that coming. Because it's not normal. You know it. Offensive linemen normally struggle early on. They have a lot of ups and downs, and these guys haven't had a ton of downs. You know, it's been mostly up. They're not perfect, they're not great at road grading and all that, but they get it once in a while, and then they've done a really good job overall of pass protection because the quarterback is not running for his life all the time. So I would have to say that the offensive line has been the pleasant surprise out of everything that's gone on.
When you compound it with the fact that they're all new, pretty much.
Yeah, no.
And injuries. You don't even have your five. We've gone to the seventh, eighth guy.
Yeah, four out of five guys are brand new. That's not normal. Your offensive line is supposed to struggle big time. Lazy Lightsaber says, Big O, when you say we will win, it gives me hope. National media is already calling it for the Chargers. Well, that's fine, but did they call it for the Rams? Because I called it for the Dolphins. Did they call it for the Cardinals? Because I called it for the Dolphins. So, whatever, brother. I'm just going to look at it the way. Now, listen, I'm not picking the Dolphins in the KC game. I can already tell you that there. I'll be rooting for them, but I don't think they're going to win that one. Let the media keep counting us out. It keeps the team hungry. I like that, Super Boom Shack. Raging Dolphin Maniac says, I put all my sports and concert tickets in frames and hang them. Nice. The only problem is I don't have enough space in my house to frame all my concert tickets, and that would be way too much.
Bro, you would need all the walls at the Pentagon building.
Yeah,
okay?
yeah. I would need something like a lot of walls. Yeah, I would need the kind of house I can't afford. Put it that way. Big O, I know you keep taking shots at him, but Tannehill was Tannehill last night. Love the kid as a human being, but he's just a game manager. I know. That's what I've been trying to tell everybody for years, but they buy into stats. Just like Lamar Jackson, they buy into the stats last year, but they don't really look at the game and they look at how the passes he's making. And now you look at what teams are doing to him and they are destroying him. He cannot pass the ball the same way because he's limited. You know what's the funny part is? How he's saying that people are guessing their plays. It's guys that are just guessing things anyways. They scream it out loud. Oh, it's a run. They're going to the left. They're going to the right. They're just also guessing, too, by the way. I don't think Lamar realizes that there's also guesses going on the other side, and they want to read you to see if you respond to any of those. So if your body language says, oh, they caught us, then they know they called the right thing. So be careful, Lamar. They're all not guessing exactly what you're doing, but they're just guessing. And you might be giving it away yourself. Okay? Dennis says, this is what I love about the show, the interaction with Big O. Thank you. And the Finns fans. Fam, that is. Well, that's the idea. Well, that's who I am anyway. No matter what. If I'm here, I'm on Allen's side, whatever. I'm at QAM. I'm on Sirius Radio. Wherever I'm at, I'm always going to be the person that connects with the listeners. That's the only way I know how to do things. Do you think the Micah Parsons could be a good pickup with the Texans? I don't know, brother. I have no idea. None whatsoever. Dougie Fresh says, I literally tuned in right when O put that Agba sack on Tom's ass. Loop that joint until Big O gets back. LOL. Can't wait to see how pretty that uniform is going to look on Sunday and on the field as well. And let's see. Rosendo says, good afternoon, everybody. Agree the biggest surprise is the offensive line. They're doing an excellent job. They're holding the line like the open range. They are playing like vaqueros. And Extreme says, Joey Bosa has been ruled out. Yep, we've heard. I've been pounding the table, 13-3. How does that taste? That would be amazing, bro, 13-3. That would be awesome. Lazy Lightsaber says, it upsets me that on the Joe Rose show, they give Tannehill all this credit. He barely talks to a let's move on. I don't know. I don't know what Joe's doing, but, you know, Joe's a good dude, bro. But Joe probably has a good relationship with Ryan. So he probably doesn't want to be completely honest because then maybe it ruins his relationship with Ryan. That's the thing I try the most to do is there are some players that I'm friends with and I try not to be friends with them because I want to be objective. And obviously if a player is my friend, I won't be able to be objective. You know what I'm saying? But I'd rather not have you as a friend. I'd rather just cover you for what it is. And then that way I could just be brutally honest about everything, you know? So sometimes, people build relationship with certain players or teams or coaches, and then they withdraw from being objective. And I don't know if that's what, you know, Joe's doing. I'm not hearing what you're hearing, so I'm not listening to Joe every day or something like that, so I don't know exactly. But, I mean, that would be my guess if he's doing that. But I would imagine that Joe is talking up the hell out of Tua. I got to think Joe's giving plenty of love to Tua after what Tua's done. I got to figure that. I'm not hearing it. You know, I do run into it every once in a while when I'm in the car, but I would imagine that he is giving Tua a lot of, I mean, how can you not give Tua love? You know what I mean? The way the Dolphins are progressing, I see our defense not losing any more games. That's hard, man. That's hard. Don't set yourself up that way. You know why? Let me give you a little piece of advice. Because I've noticed it with fans over the years that it happens, and it happens to a lot of fans. We love our teams so much that we build up our expectations and then we build up what we think is realism. And then when the team doesn't meet our realism, which is not really realistic, we then get mad at the team. And so I don't want you thinking that you're going to win all the games that are left. And then if you lose two or three from here on out and you end up 10-6, you should be ecstatic and not pissed off because you thought they were a 13-3 team. When at the beginning of the year and starting year two of a rebuild, coming off five wins, you would have never thought 13. You understand? So try not to do that to yourself because I've watched fans over the years. And then they end up calling me and they end up texting me and reaching out to me and pissed off and yelling. And they should have been this and they should have been that. And really, they shouldn't be that because they're not that good. And really, they're not a 13-3 team. So there's no real reason that they should run the table from here on out. You know? So let's enjoy it week to week. Let's enjoy the rebuild and the progress that we're making, the massive amount of progress that we're making in such a short time. Think about this. A lot of people at the beginning of last year thought we were thinking about, me too, 3 to 4 years down the line is when we would start seeing the light of day and playoffs and things like that. In year two, we're in the middle of possibly making the playoffs. So let's not get ahead of ourselves and already put them in the Super Bowl or the AFC Championship game. Let's just enjoy this week against the Chargers. That's all. That's it. Let's embrace this week. Let's support the team. Let's watch it. Let's talk about it. Let's react. And then we'll move on to the next week. But let's not talk about December right now when we're not even in December. And we don't know what's going to happen. So let's take it easy. You know, we haven't been here in a long time where we actually have a franchise now that knows what the hell they're doing. We got a front office. We got a coach. We got a team. We got a quarterback. Let's enjoy it, man. Let's enjoy this process. Let's enjoy week to week. Let's just enjoy this right here. You know, last week we watched them win into a second start. The kid balled. They were missing five coaches. They were missing a few players too. And they were able to overcome all that. And players got injured during the game. And they overcame that and won it. So now we got maybe Wilkins and Van Noy out, right? And there's a couple of other guys too that are kind of banged up. Let's just enjoy this moment. That's all. No reason to think so far ahead right now. Samuel Robina gives us a little love on the Super Chat. Big O, these next 4 weeks are crucial for the Finns. On paper, we should win. If we go out and handle business, we should be playoff bound. Yeah, yeah. That we could. There's no doubt. You're 5-3. You got a great shot at going 6-3. So that means you got seven more games and you've won six already. Hell yeah, you're going to be Super Bowl. Speaking of getting ahead, you're playoff bound. Yeah. You got a shot at the playoffs. Yes. Yes. I'm with you all the way. Let's see. What else do we have here? Big O, haven't the Heat made us feel like anything is possible? This team can win 12 games? Or are you talking about, yeah, I think you meant the Dolphins, not the Heat. 12 is a lot, man. It's a lot. You're asking for, you know, the injuries to go your way, that you're not getting a lot of the bad breaks. We got COVID also in the middle of all of this. I mean, at this point, look, I thought it was an 8-8 team at best. Now they're looking like they can get to 10. I don't know about 12 right now. You know what I mean? Let me wait a couple more weeks to see what the hell's going on with all of this. But there's no doubt. Listen. We got a lot more hope now than we did. All I want you guys to do is don't think about 12 wins right now. Don't think about 13. Don't think about winning 10 in a row. Don't think about the Super Bowl. Don't think about any of that, man. Let's just enjoy this week. You know that cliche that players and coaches do all the time, that we go week to week here and we don't think about. I think we should do the same thing. I think we don't need to get ahead of ourselves because that just builds stuff up for no reason, right? I think we're better off just looking at this game and enjoying what's going to go on Sunday. That's kind of the way I would handle it. Now, speaking of the Heat, by the way, because since you mentioned it, I just want to throw it out there. That, you know, we talked about Russell Westbrook and James Harden, and those two guys they're not fits here. They do not fit the culture. That's not the kind of player you want on this team. Those guys aren't going to be happy playing off the ball, which is what you have to do a lot in Miami because we spread the ball around, right? And so I think we've talked about how I'm not a fan of Harden or Westbrook. But I'll tell you this. The Bradley Beal one is one that I'm extremely interested in. That one I like. Now, the question is, what do you have to give up in order to get Bradley Beal? Bradley Beal's a team player. Bradley Beal's a good kid. Bradley Beal will play with the ball. Off the ball, score. This is a guy that is a leading scorer in the NBA. This kid can ball. He just plays on a terrible team. Here, he'll be a better player, a better defender. He'll be in better spirits here because he'll be part of a great organization. You know what I mean? So this, I think, is a great opportunity. Now, here's the problem. He's under contract. He just signed that extension with them. What do you got to give up to get him? And that's the problem I have with that deal. That's the only thing that I don't know. What will it cost to acquire Bradley Beal? And that's what I need to know. Because you can't give up too much of your young guys. And I know other people are going to want to trade for him. And, you know, they may have better packages or anything. But I love where the Heat is at right now. That I don't need you to force the issue by acquiring somebody that forces you to give up multiple assets. I'd rather you continue to stay liquid. You know Bam's not going to sign that deal this offseason. You know he's going to sign it next offseason because he's going to allow them to have the cap space to add a max player while he gets his supermax contract. So instead of getting a max now, he'll get a supermax in the summer after this next season coming up. So that's going to happen. Come on, man. Nobody's better at wink-wink than the Miami Heat. But I'll tell you this. If Bradley Beal's available, that's one guy that I would inquire. As long as I don't have to give up too much that would cripple my team and it kind of becomes a wash. You know what I'm saying? Because what Bradley Beal is producing, you know, if you give up two or three players, combined those players are producing a lot more than Bradley Beal. That doesn't really make a lot of sense. But that's going to be the hook and the problem with that deal. As much as you like Bradley Beal, you're going to have to give up something in order to acquire him. 786-322-1105. If you want to get in on the program, that's 786-322-1105. If you want to get in on the program, you can also reach out to us on Twitter. That's at Big O Show. Follow us there as always because, ladies and gentlemen, that is a 24-hour talk show there on Twitter, always happening there on Twitter. What else was I going to say? Damn, there was something else that I wanted. Oh, I have it here, I think, in my notes that I wanted to talk about. Canes and Vautech. You know, I found it really odd when I looked at the numbers today. Vautech is favored by 1.5. There's no home field advantage. There's not 70,000 drunken idiots at Blacksburg. So you're not playing a night game where they've been liquored up all day. And it's a pain in the ass to get in, a pain in the ass to get out. You got fans screaming in you. You know, there might be, what, 20% in the stands? That's not really the kind of home field advantage that people are used to. The kind of home field that really makes a difference. They don't have that going on right now. And I saw where Vautech is 4-3, Miami is 6-1. Now, here's where I got to criticize myself a little bit. Because I kind of laughed at the people that were complaining about how are you starting Tua against the Rams? It's Aaron Donald. He's going to kill the young man. He's coming off a hip surgery. Are you kidding me? They've got a guy there, Michael Brockers. They got a hell of a defensive front. Why would you start Tua? And then 2 weeks later after they start Tua and he struggles, those people that were complaining about starting him, they then complained that Tua struggled. And then they said, well, Tua maybe is not the guy. Justin Herbert's the guy. And so they overreacted about all of this. Because you can't say that, how can you start Tua against them and then you're going to act surprised that he struggled? Because what happened was exactly what you thought would happen. It's not an easy thing to start against those guys as your first game, but they did it. And yet people complained. So here I go. I've been saying so far at 6-1 that I'm not impressed with the Canes. Very impressed with De'Aaron King the last couple weeks, especially this past week. He put on a show like I've never seen any UM quarterback in the history of the University of Miami. And I put on Twitter that that was a top three performance by a Canes QB the last 20 years. I could argue it's the best performance in the last 20 years by a Canes QB, but whatever. And so I'm talking about week after week. I'm still not, like, I wasn't impressed with the Canes last week beating NC State. I was impressed with De'Eriq King, but I was not impressed with the team at all. So then I then act surprised that Vatek is favored by 1.5. So meanwhile, Vegas is just as unimpressed about the Canes as I am. That's why they've got Vatek favored by 1.5. You know, normally at home, you get 3 points, right? If they think both teams are even, then the home team's leaving with 3. That's the way it is. So in this case, this team's 4-3. They haven't really put up a great record. Their defense is terrible, okay? You could tell that Frank Beamer is gone, okay? You could tell that that defense is not the same anymore that it used to be. And so I think Miami should win this game by 7 or 10 points. They're not liquored up fans. This is not that difficult of a road game anymore. You have a better record. And Vatek has been so unimpressed. Yet Vegas has them favored. Which then now makes me completely nervous about this matchup. So says the guy that tells you, well, hell, Vegas has overlooked the Dolphins and I keep winning. Vegas overlooks the Heat and I keep winning. So why couldn't they have overlooked the Canes right now? And we can win this one.
You know, it's one thing during that North Carolina game, man, that was really disturbing. And we had touched about it. Guys having Reed's number and Sean Taylor's number. Man, our secondary on some of those passes were nowhere near the receiver, bro.
Yeah.
Like, they were technique, Reed. Bro, it was crazy. Guys running 20 yards and nobody around them.
Yeah. No, terrible, terrible. Yeah.
And back in the day, look, that little pass play back to the quarterback, okay, and him running down the big offensive line. Our defensive backs do not get destroyed like that down there, especially that close to the goal line.
Yeah.
Two guys got destroyed inside the 10-yard, like they weren't even there.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Miami Kid J says, Big O King has improved that deep ball considering the fact that he's got famine at receiver, but I am happy for the kid. He has. And it maybe wasn't so much him, it was just timing with the receivers. But, hey, we got to give Mike Harley a lot of credit, bro. That guy's he's scored touchdowns 3 weeks in a row, and he's had two monster weeks. So we got to give Harley a little love that maybe he's turned the corner finally and woken up a little bit. You know, we still need to see more from Pope. But Pope and Wiggins have contributed, at least. I will say that. And this is all without Brevin Jordan, who would help a lot if we actually had him in the lineup.
I was just going to say, can you imagine Mallory and Jordan, bro?
Yeah.
What that would do for your receivers?
Yeah.
What that would do for your running backs?
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah.
Man.
Matthew Walker says, with Wilkins out, could we see more of Jason Stobridge? Yes. Which, doesn't that make you excited? Like, for me, like, I know Christian Wilkins can play. It sucks that he's out. I'm sorry about that. Okay? A little pissed that you're jumping on people. Christian, stop jumping on people, please. But I actually want to see Stobridge. That's kind of who I am, bro. I'm good with that. I want to see. He's a draft pick.
You're enjoying these injuries we're having to see guys.
Because we have other draft picks that we can see.
Right.
So you don't get to see Robert Hunt actually play unless Austin Jackson got injured. Not that I want Austin Jackson injured, but now I found out that Robert Hunt can play. So now people can't say, have you seen Mike Hunt? Have you seen Mike Hunt? No, we saw Mike Hunt. He can play. You know? So now Jason Stobridge, I don't want to see Wilkins out. Certainly don't want to see Van Noy out. But, dude, if this gives Van Ginkle more time, if this gives Jason Stobridge more time, if Raekwon Davis is going to play more, I'm good. I want to find out about those guys, too. when we roll around the draft, right, we're going to know, oh, no, Stobridge can play, bro. We got depth there. Oh, no, no, we got depth on the offensive line. This guy can play. That guy can play. Have I not said on this show, a couple of times that I'm looking forward to the next time Michael Dieter has to play?
Yes, you have.
Have I not said that?
Several times.
Okay. Why? Because I'm not giving up on the kid after 1 year. That's ridiculous. They gave up on Gesicki, and now you look stupid.
You have to assume with all the different players that we've seen develop and move forward,
right.
You got to figure Dieter, especially him in that Dallas game being moved to another position and him just ball, you know, trying.
Yeah.
The guy's got guts, man.
Yeah, I like Dieter. So let's give him some time. Let's give him another shot. I don't know when it is. I don't wish any injuries on anybody on the offensive line. But the next time he plays, I'm not about cringing about it. I'm about excited about it. Think about this. If you can get Dieter to come around, then you hit on your three and the guy you drafted last year. That's four. That's effed up, dude. Like, that's just some sick-ass G stuff that you do right there in the front office. Because hitting on all three guys this year, that's just total G move. And if the kid takes, you know, his second year, which how many linemen have you seen develop in years two and three and four? You know what I mean? Billy Turner left us and kept playing elsewhere. What was the other guy that played for the Giants and a couple of other places that he left us? He was a guard. Trying to remember the other guy that we lost outside of it took them a couple years to figure it out. But they've been starters in other places. And you're like, man, we had them here. But again, you can't give up on linemen early. You can't just play them 1 year and say, oh, it's done. Some linemen take 2-3 years to figure things out. And you got to have some patience and work with them.
The Mike Hunt thing and Porky's.
Yes.
On our Dolphins, bro, we have seen no peewees this season.
No peewees. But we do need them to start being more road graders like Beulah, ball breaker. Okay? That's what we need. Little Mike 551 says, I love Canes, but the Dolphins got all my attention. Plus, when the defense is not good, the games are boring. I'm a former QB, but I love defense. Tremolio says, has anyone actually seen an article what Preston actually has? Fracture, sprain. They don't tell you that anymore, Tremolio. They just say foot. They won't tell you it's the third metacarpal or whatever in the foot. They're not going to tell you that, you know, he strained the ligament or it's plantar fasciitis or whatever. They're just going to say, oh, John Jerry, thank you. All the John Jerry's coming in. Thank you. Somebody put Dallas Tom. I don't think Dallas ever caught on. I think he was a bust. But John Jerry and Butler, was it Butler I said before? Billy Butler, right? Was it? Yeah. Those two guys have gone on to continue to play in the NFL. You can't give up on linemen right away. Just can't do that. Let's see. Turner went to the Packers. There you go. Billy Turner went to the Packers. Thank you. Billy Turner also, was in Denver too, right? I think. Billy Turner got better with, better with Denver and then played well with Green Bay. There you go. Marlins hire first female GM. Yes, Revo, we talked about that, man. It's pretty good stuff.
Oh, on the average. Okay.
Yes.
Not mattering where we pick, okay, an offensive lineman. And we're not talking 1 through 4. Not a 5 and a 6, you know, whatever. Okay? 1 through 4, at least 2-3 years as an offensive lineman to be like,
oh, yeah.
You know what? That guy kicks ass and takes names every play.
Yeah.
Or 90-whatever% of the time.
Yes.
Right? At least 2 or 3.
Yes.
Minimum.
Yes.
You know what, man? Again, Greer, you can't say enough, man. Depth, injury, like,
we have
7 or 8 offensive lineman, bro.
Oh,
when was the last time we could say that?
In a year and a half, they turned over the roster. They're winning. They have depth in some places. Other places, they don't. I get it, but they're not supposed to. The fact that they have depth in certain places, for years our team couldn't have depth at all. And they just kept building team and team.
Hell, we were lucky to have 11 on offense and 11 on defense. Forget.
Never even had 20, five on 30. The line.
Yeah, right.
Never had a line, dude. Actually, I have like a line nowadays. It's ridiculous. All right, let's give you our picks in the NFL slate. We are 0-1 to start off the week. We went 3-2 last week. 0-1 so far because we took Tennessee yesterday plus one. And obviously, thank you to Tannehill. I figured that they would be front-running the entire game and in control, but they weren't. They fell behind, and once you fall behind with Tannehill, you are in trouble. And so I was in trouble, ended up losing that one, unfortunately. My second pick this week, Tampa Bay is visiting the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers, they have lost by 6 points a couple times this year, but they've also been extremely competitive in many games this year. And I think this is one of those games where they stay competitive with Tampa. I think they lose a close one, but Tampa Bay is favored by six. I'm going to take the Carolina Panthers and Teddy Bridgewater plus six in this one. So I'll go with the home dog, Carolina Panthers, getting 6 points from Tom Brady and the Bucks. The over and under is 50.5. Tampa Bay is minus 250 in the money line. Panthers are plus 210 in the money line. I'm going Panthers plus six. San Francisco, a terrible football team. They have been ravaged by injuries. They are a shell of what they've been. We know that they were a Super Bowl contender before all of these injuries and COVID took over. New Orleans, coming off a monster win against the aforementioned Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They routed them. They embarrassed Tampa and Tom Brady. I believe it was 38-3 was the score last week. I think they will embarrass San Francisco this time around. San Fran has way too many injuries to overcome. They don't have their quarterback. I believe they don't even have their starting tight end. New Orleans is favored by 10. The over and under is 49. San Francisco is plus 350 in the money line. New Orleans is minus 440 in the money line. I'm laying the 10 points here. Give it up. San Francisco is not going to make this a game. They will lose by 14 to 20 points here. So I'm laying the 10. Go New Orleans minus 10. The Chargers are visiting the Miami Dolphins at Hard Rock Stadium. The Dolphins, normally a home team, if both teams are even, they will give 3 points. Well, right now, Vegas has got Miami favored only by one. So that tells me that Vegas feels a little bit more confident on the Chargers than I do. I have way more confidence in the Miami Dolphins. I have way more confidence in the Dolphin coaching staff. I have way more confidence in Tua now after settling last week. And also Joey Bosa apparently is out now for the Chargers. That's going to be a huge loss for them. And so Miami, I think they were going to overcome all of this anyway. Austin Jackson's been out. They overcome, right? Other players have missed out, and they overcome, and they find ways to win games. I think Miami will do the same thing on Sunday, and I think they win by 6-plus points. I do. I don't think they're going to win by 10, 20, or whatever, but 6, 7, 8 points, I could see them winning the game by that, which means they'll cover the minus 1 here. So I've got Dolphins minus 1, New Orleans minus 10, and Panthers plus 6. That is the selections of the week. Jesse Minneapolis, thank you. Love on the Super Chat. Thank you, Jesse says, Orlando, I'm loving the optimism folks are showing. I'm excited too. But as the great AC/DC says, it's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. You know, I almost feel like I got to listen to some AC/DC on the way home. Now I'll listen to Onside Radio. That's my job. Like right now I can't do my job listening to Onside Radio, but I can trust Alex Donnell. That's the good thing. It's always nice to put it in somebody's hands that you feel confident in. They're, you know, they're competent, they're respectful, they do an excellent job. And Alex Donnell is all of that and so much more. He does such an awesome job. And thank you all out there for following Onside Radio on Twitter and on Facebook and Instagram. And thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading the My Radio Tuner app and finding our station and liking it, starring it, whatever it is. All of that good stuff. Little Mike 551 says, you can't give up on no draft pick. I give him 3 years. I give a QB 4 or 5, but Tua is good right now. He only needs reps. I see us winning at least a playoff game. I hope you're right, man. I hope you're right. I know you're getting way ahead, but I hope you're right. NorCal says, I knew it and predicted 27-17 Colts, Finns 34-14, and the under 48. Let's see. Lazy Lightsaber says, fire Gase. How does this dude have a head coaching job and still make him Dolphins equipment manager? He is terrible. Big O, do you think Hibbert is going to throw more yards than Tua? Oh, that's a good one. No, I don't think so, because we got a secondary. So I'm going to say no. They do have receivers, man. Mike Williams is a really, really good receiver. Keenan Allen is a really a Pro Bowl-like receiver. But I like our corners, so no. I'm going to say Tua will pass for more yards than Justin. Herbert, by the way, because I know you put Hibbert. Big O, do you Gase shouldn't be allowed to build a taco, let alone a team. Oh, I think you're going to lose your shirt on that Tampa Bay Carolina game. I'm expecting a big Brady turnaround after a bad previous week. You might be right. You might be right. We'll see. We shall see what we'll see. Right? What was that? We shall see what we see. What movie is that? Because he says it with a twang. We shall see what we see. Damn. Somebody help me.
Are you trying to do a bit of a southern drawl there, buddy?
Yeah, and he says, we shall see what we see. What movie is that? Damn.
I was thinking what we got here is failure to communicate.
Yeah, but no, it's not that movie.
Well, I'm just saying, right now you got a failure
a reminder
to communicate.
Well, yeah, no, yeah. Well, that's ask my wife. That happens every day. 786-322.
And that would be Cool Hand Luke, by the way.
Yes. 786-322-1105 if you want to get in on the – oh, that's in Under Siege. When he talks to the redheaded guy about getting kicked out of the kitchen because they're bringing in the copter and all those people, and then he says, well, we shall see what we see. That's it. It's the redheaded dude from Under Siege. There you go. Super Boomshack says Smokey and the Bandit. Nope, it's Under Siege.
Now, the Smokey and the Bandit is, when we get home, Junior, I'm going to punch your mama right in the mouth.
Yeah, there's no
for having you.
There's no way use from my loins. Okay? If we don't go 4-0 in the next four, I'm going to be kind of disappointed. See what I – see? See? You see what I'm saying? He wasn't here for that segment. He did not hear that. Little Mike did not hear my segment at all. I can tell you he joined us late on that one. Didn't I tell you? I've been doing this 30 years, dude. 30 years. I know how you guys think, okay? I know how you ladies think. I know how you fanatics think. Little Mike right there. If we don't go 4-0 in the next four, I'm going to kind of be disappointed. And we're 5-3. There is no room for disappointment, Dolphin fans. Okay? Get on board with me. Please get on board the positive train. Please get on board the realistic train. We're not supposed to be here after year. We're not supposed to be 5-3 after a complete teardown last year. Okay? Little Mike, I'm telling you, my brother, you don't want to think like that.
It doesn't take long for us to create benchmarks, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? I love that segment. I really do. In the first hour you did. Let's just enjoy this.
Yeah.
Can we stop all the any negative, any putting up expectations? Just be happy.
Can we
just be happy?
I'll give you another one.
We've had no happiness in 2020.
Try it. I talked about this on Onside Radio today from 11 to 1. Well, for those of you that are tuning in, and might as well, if you haven't seen the show on a consistent basis, because had a couple of days off earlier this week, I'm on every day 11 to 1 over at OnsideRadio.com. You can download the app, MyTuner Radio, and you can check us out there, search Onside. And we got a great lineup, man. Manny Navarro's there. Alex Dono's there. Ethan Skolnick's there. Kalen Kyle does a great soccer show. Our morning show, The Morning Juice with Lemon City Live. Those guys are a lot of fun. Check it out, please. And you'll enjoy. Trust me, you're really going to enjoy what we're doing. But I'll give you a thing about this. And I get that Omar Kelly has a job to do, and I love Omar Kelly. Omar's a friend of mine, dude. I will defend Omar to the death. Not that I agree with him on everything Dolphins or football. He and I disagree many times over. Okay, but like I tell you, right now is not the time to talk about negativity. Right now is not the time when it comes to the Dolphins. We have to be realistic. What they're doing for us right now, what Chris Greer and Brian Flores are doing, is unheard of, dude. You tore the team down to the bone last year with barely any talent left over, and in a year and a half, you're now 5-3. Are you out of your mind? You were 0-7 last year. You're 5-3 now. You went 10-7 now in the last 17 games. You've gone 5-1 now after you went 0-2. There's no room for complaining. So, and if they win 3 of 4, little Mike, you should be super happy, bro. Think about it. You're going to be disappointed if they're not 4-0. Okay, so if they're 3-1, you're going to be disappointed that they're 8-4? Let's go over that again. You're going to be disappointed that they're 8-4. How does that make any sense? Right? So Omar writes this article today. They're 5-3 in their first 8 games. Things are trending in the right direction. Your young quarterback's playing really well. All this kind of stuff, right? Here's the headline. Kelly, what could prevent these Dolphins from reaching the postseason? Commentary, okay? First thing he puts, roster gets watered down further by injuries and COVID-19. Dude, that can happen to anybody. So why are we mentioning this now? Like, injuries and COVID, of course we know it can take a toll on anybody. But, I mean, come on, why are we going to talk about this now? That's not the issue. Tua Tagovailoa's development stalls. My Lord, he's only played 2 games. We're already talking about his development stalling. And if you tell me that it's other quarterbacks that, you know, maybe I don't know as well, but this kid... Nobody studies harder than this kid. Nobody asks more questions than this kid. This guy wants to find out from his defensive guru head coach what the defenses are doing. He goes and asks the defensive players, what can I do to improve? And on that play, what this play, what were you thinking on this play when I threw it? All of these, this guy gets into it at every level. So we're going to talk about his development stalls. The third point he makes, Dolphins start losing the turnover battle. But why would they? You're a good team. You've gone through half the season winning the turnover battle. Why wouldn't you win the turnover battle in the second half? That's just like saying, well, the offensive line forgets how to play. They all become Chuck Knoblaugh. They start throwing out into the stands. I mean, you know, it's just like, really? Come on, Omar. Do we have to talk about this now? Quarterback's playing well. Offensive line's playing well. I mean, give me a break. Devontae Parker has fought through a lot. Gesicki's grown up. You know, the defense is playing out of its mind. Ogbaugh's having a Pro Bowl year. I mean, do we really have to do this? Number four, Miami's rushing attack continues to struggle. But they're 5-3 with the struggling rushing attack. Why do we have to bring this up? What more is it going to struggle? You know what I mean?
I love that last point. You know, imagine if we were getting 4 yards a clip running the ball.
Hey, but you can write that article for anybody. Okay? Well, how Kansas City can't make the playoffs? Well, Pat Mahomes gets on crack. You know, Tyreek Hill loses his leg. Yeah, you know, I could just start doing that too. COVID ravages the locker room and half of them go out. Hey, I could come up with that article too with every team. It was just like, I saw that today and it was like this giant bucket of just ice water being thrown on me, like, just cool down. And I'm like, come on, bro. This is not the time for this. You know, I talked about this on my show. There's a lot of things he could write about. How the Dolphins have developed three tight ends and the two blocking guys are now catching the ball along with Gesicki, helping the offense be more multiple. I could talk about that. I could talk about how they have six offensive linemen when they never had two or three in years past. I could talk about the amazement of Tua's transformation from coming to the from off the bench to starting. I could talk about his relationships, how Tua has done a great job of building relationships with teammates, with coaches, and that he immediately has gained that respect and that they play hard for him and they like him. I can write about so many things. I can write about Chris Greer's vision to say, no, I know Byron Jones is going to cost us a lot of money, but if we have two shutdown corners, it will make the entire defense better. I can write about Van Ginkel growing in the position, a guy that was picked into the fifth round. I can talk about the Texans draft pick, the kid, the Texas draft pick, the Jones kid, the safety.
Playing linebacker.
Yeah. I mean, I could just go on and on and on and talk about all the amazing stories. I could talk about Jason Sanders will not miss from the moon. Okay?
Record consecutive field goals, 20.
20.
And we've had some pretty good field goal kickers in
our
day.
Yes, definitely. But I could talk about that. I can write about that. There are so many things to write about with the Dolphins right now. You could just write a Flores story alone, dude. You could write a Chan Gailey story. People thought he was old. People thought he was washed up. He was out of football. He's done a great job. They're 5-3. He did a good job with Fitz, and he's doing a good job with the rookie. Why can't we talk about that? You can write an article about all of that. You're going to write an article about the 10 things that are going to bring you down? Come on, man. I saw that and it was like, damn, Omar. You're a killer right now. You're wiping me out.
All those people, you know what, oh? I want to know what color the sky is in their world, bro.
Yeah, man. Like, right now is not the time to take any negativity, man. Julius 305 chiming in with a little love on the Super Chat. How's that? Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. Okay. Julius, thank you. He says, stop saying 30 years. We old. Shaking my head. Yes. Yeah, but it's the reality, bro. It's the reality. I'm completing my 30th year, dude. Okay. At the end of this year, it'll be my 30th year in this business, bro. All right.
When it comes to age, you know what I say. Refuse to go quietly into that good night. Go kicking and screaming, fighting, clawing, biting. Yep. I refuse to get old, bro.
Yep. 91 it started, and this is the 30th year, dude. Crazy stuff, man. Crazy stuff. You know,
old people don't do up and backs on concerts to Tampa, especially. Okay.
Yeah.
We do, bro.
Oh no, no. I mean, I am old, but I'll never act old. That you can forget about. You'll never see me act my age ever. Not even close to it. I won't even be in the vicinity, as they say.
If you did, I wouldn't know who the hell you were.
Right. Exactly. That is the truth. That is definitely the truth. Let's see, what else do we have here? You know, and the other thing, and Julius, thank you again for the love on the Super Chat, man. Appreciate all of you out there, man. The other thing that, well, I tell you there's no space for it, right now, at least right now. You know, listen, if they're playing like crap, then we can talk about the next, but right now, you know, it was nice to hear on the broadcast last night how they gave the Dolphins some love and they recognized what's going on here in South Florida. Go ahead, Bill.
For the Dolphins, I don't think anybody's done a better job over the last calendar year, and it obviously predates that. But with the results now coming,
I agree.
For Coach Flores and the Miami Dolphins, they are fun to watch, and now they've got Tua Tagovailoa showing what kind of a winner he is with the way he's played in a couple of starts.
Isn't it kind of fitting that last year there was all this discussion about the Dolphins tanking for Tua and all that went into that, and then they started winning some games, and it's like, wait a minute, that's not the way this is supposed to go. And, of course, Joe Burrow became the guy, but they ended up with Tua, and what he's been able to do is, look, I mean, I know how hard it is to come into the league and play as a rookie, and a lot of these guys, Joe Burrow's another one of them, but Tua Tagovailoa, he's made it look easy as well. I mean, these guys are really doing a heck of a job. The league's in good hands when you look across the landscape of the league with some of these young guys that are now playing and at the level that they're playing at.
There you go. And that's nice to see, because that's what the Dolphins deserve now, man. They deserve love. They deserve credit. They deserve praise. They deserve the attention that they should get. That they're kicking butt, man. They've done what Chris Greer has done is unheard of, bro. Unheard of.
I remember you always saying that as a good GM, you should be able to turn over and flip your roster 3 years.
3 years.
With the cap strappedness we had,
yeah,
coupled with what we had, what we've been able to do after 1 year, man, nobody, right,
no,
has ever done it like this
in the salary cap era.
You
could turn a basketball team around because it's 12 guys, and you only need two or three on the floor.
The Lakers showed you only need two.
And the Heat did too, and everybody.
Well, we had three.
No, but what I'm saying is we went and got the big three and completely changed everything for us. And that's what I'm saying, that you could do that. But in football, it's 53 men. It's a large roster, okay? Even baseball, it's 24. Hockey, I think it's around 24, 25 or whatever. But it's not like football, that it's 53 men on the roster. And it takes a lot to turn it over. And they've done it in two drafts in a season and a half. And think about this. If you're this good drafting and trading and moving around, I can't wait for this next draft to add more players. Are you out of your mind? Wow. That's fantastic. Folks, the Season of Performance event is going on right now at Craig's Inns, Acura of Pembroke Pines. The 2021 RDX is in 339. And by the way, they've got this special RDX in there. It's got the color, that orange color from the NSX. And only like 300 and something were made.
What color is it?
Thermal orange pearl.
Thermal orange pearl.
That sounds spacious, right? Like it should be on the space shuttle.
Do you remember the NSX that was there that was like orange?
Bro, of course.
That's the RDX. It's that color.
It's that color?
They only made 300 of those. They're special that edition.
The paint, the way it comes off the car, it looks like it will not fit a standard lane driving down the road.
Yeah, it's awesome.
The paint's like 10 foot, makes the car 10 foot wide.
It's awesome. 2020 ILXs, you can get them at $189. 2020 TLXs, you can get them at $249 while they last, of course. And you know they're always ready to make a deal right now, baby. The season of performance event is going on right now. The number one volume sales dealership, Acura's, in the Southeast United States is right here at 15601 Pines Boulevard. So come on out here. Say hi to the boys. Tell them that I sent you. Trust me. They will definitely take care of you. Great people out here to take care of you. And make sure you tell them that Big O sent you. Whether you're buying a new car or a certified pre-owned, tell them that Big O sent you at Craig Zinn's Acura of Pembroke Pines.
America's premium sport compact sedan is at Acura of Pembroke Pines, and this is how we do it. 2020 ILX, $199 a month, $199 at Acura of Pembroke Pines, the number one volume Acura dealer.
Hey, it's Big O. For all of your family dental needs, please reach out to Murias Dental. I've known Eric for a while, a big fan of our show. Call him at 305-821-0231. Whether it's you or your kids that need some dental help, whether it's implants, Invisaligns, they are the experts. Or if you're just looking to fill a cavity or clean your teeth or maybe even get a crown, you are going to love the professionalism, the family-like atmosphere. And of course, when you talk about being clean, that's what it's all about in today's society. You are going to go to an extremely clean place. Go to MudiasDental.com. Go to the website. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Murias Dental. Tell them that Big O sent you. 305-821-0231 or go to MuriasDental.com.
Are you tired of watching the same old travel videos on the internet? Well, then check out MikeNoGoZones.com, a travel documentary that's breaking barriers. I go to the places that the media tells you to fear, where no one else dares to go. Baltimore, Opa-locka, south side of Chicago, and more. Go to MikeNoGoZones.com.
Hey, it's Big O. For all of your CBD, THC, or hookah needs, you got to get on down to VSS West Pines at 12397 Pembroke Road. Yes, they have got legal THC. You've got to check it out. And they've got, of course, when it comes to CBD, flower, tinctures, edibles, for all kinds of reasons, whether it's pain, stress, anxiety, you name it. And don't forget, when you mention my name, you'll get 20% off. Tell the boys out there that I told you to get on down to VSS West Pines, 12397 Pembroke Road, and call them 954-613-3367. Legal THC, CBD, all of your hookah needs. You go to VSS West Pines.